I'm your host, Corey Waldron, and welcome to Full Access Hoops, episode 14. Today, we're going to have a quicker episode. I'm getting over a stomach bug. I spent the majority of the last 24 hours with my head either in a garbage can or in the toilet. So this is pretty much my Jordan flu game. So I'm going to start off with a poll I'm going to be running weekly on the Flux's Hoop Twitter account. Will be a question I have for you guys. After the week of voting, I'm going to then talk about that poll on this podcast. So the first poll is what deal would you pursue this offseason? Would you sign LeBron James or would you trade for Kawhi Leonard? Obviously, the Kawhi Leonard trade talk is all based on the recent reports from his camp and from Spurs that he hasn't obviously come back to play after the multiple quad injuries he suffered this year, or the failed rehabs, I suppose, or him not trusting it, and the boatload of news in San Antonio where both sides aren't happy between Popovich and Kawhi in the front office. So now it's become a possibility that he may get traded, that we may see Kawhi Leonard, one of the most elite two-way players in the game, a bona fide superstar, and already an NBA champion, NBA Finals MVP, could be on the move possibly. So the question again was, what deal would you pursue, either signing LeBron James or trading for Kawhi Leonard? Trading for Kawhi. So voting percentages were, to me, not surprising. 69% were in favor of trading for Kawhi, while 31% were in favor of signing LeBron James. Me, I lean with the majority on this one. I agree. I think if Kawhi Leonard is available and your team has the possibility of trading for a Kawhi Leonard, you make that. Yes, LeBron James is fantastic. If you can sign LeBron James, you definitely go after and you sign LeBron James. But I think if you're, for example, this podcast may be Sixers head. Philadelphia 76ers have been linked to possibly signing LeBron James this offseason. Obviously, there's the connection between him and Ben Simmons. I feel if the Philadelphia 76ers really wanted to turn the tables and make a run at being, a dynasty or whatever, you trade for Kawhi Leonard. You trade, Robert Covington, maybe Markelle Fultz, future draft picks, or a couple other role players to the Spurs, and you try and get Kawhi Leonard. Could you imagine a Joel Embiid, Kawhi Leonard, and Ben Simmons team? I mean, Kawhi Leonard basically is a supercharged Robert Covington. A way better, obviously, Robert Covington is a very good defender and a good three-point shooter. But, I mean, you put a Kawhi Leonard in as that three-ball small forward for the Philadelphia 76ers, forget it. I'm not worried about any team in the West. That team is ready to contend now if they get to Kawhi Leonard. So that's just one example of a team that I think would benefit more from trading. I keep saying trading. I'm having like a Looney Tunes moment here. Trading for a Kawhi Leonard. So next up, we have Ben Simmons, who's been fantastic this year. He's definitely in the lead for Rookie of the Year. He's not my Rookie of the Year, but he is definitely in the lead for Rookie of the Year. He came out today and said he's 100% the Rookie of the Year, and that no other rookie has caused attention. Now, granted, I'm 100% okay with him saying that he thinks he's Rookie of the Year. Yes, you should have complete confidence in yourself to be Rookie of the Year. You've played fantastic. Your team has won 50 games for the first time in a long time in Philly's history. Yes, you deserve to, praise yourself and at least acknowledge that you've done a lot of great things this year. Say no rookie has caught your attention, it's a little bit annoying, I suppose I should say. Throwing shade at guys like Donovan Mitchell, who have played well all season, Jason Tatum, Kyle Kuzma, the boatload of rookies who have been very good this year. Obviously, it fits in with that Philly attitude. Joel Embiid's kind of a clown on Twitter. He's very in your face. He commented on Donovan Mitchell's Instagram post the other day saying, he wouldn't dunk on him and he'd block the shit out of him or whatever he was saying. So, I mean, the 76ers have a huge mouth. They talk, and I some people may not like it. I like it. I enjoy the arrogant, cocky basketball. That's fun. This is what makes the NBA so great, is when you have guys like the 76ers who just say what they think and what they feel. Obviously, it's a little bit funny to me, as Matt Peoples tweeted, one of my Twitter followers, about how he hated the arrogant, cocky Warriors, but he loved the arrogant, cocky 76ers. And I'm right there with him. I couldn't stand the Warriors when they were coming up, when they were, Curry hitting threes and running down the floor before the shot was even in the basket. You know, that stuff annoyed the piss out of me. And, you know, I look at the 76ers and how they do it, and I'm completely okay with it. Maybe it's because it's the East Coast versus West Coast, and I'm an East Coast guy. But I have no problem with this Ben Simmons comment. Obviously, he does notice other rookies, but that doesn't fit in with the agenda. It doesn't fit in with the chip on Philly's shoulder of the trust the process. So I have no beef with it. And the 76ers, who are currently winners of 14 straight games, come playoff time, no one's going to want to play this team. This team doesn't even have Embiid, and they're still winning. This team is fierce. This team is a dark horse to make the Eastern Conference Finals. And if you don't think so, you need to start getting on the bandwagon of the process, because this team has arrived. And now, just to wrap this up, because this isn't going to be a long podcast, we're actually going to probably for once hit the 10-minute mark or be slightly under the 10-minute mark, which is cool. I'm okay with that on a day like today. So we're just talking about some playoffs. Obviously, the playoff race is still hot and heavy with two games left for some teams, one game left for others. For the Eastern Conference, a playoff matchup which seems inevitable right now. Who has home court advantage is the only thing that could change depending on how tonight and tomorrow go for the Pacers and Cavs. But the Cavs and Pacers are locked up right now to meet in the first round of the playoffs. As a Pacers fan, it's one of those go-figure moments, and I wouldn't want it any other way. I want LeBron James. When you play, you know, in the Eastern Conference, and LeBron James runs the conference almost every year, the Pacers have lost LeBron James numerous times in the playoffs since I've been a huge basketball fan. And last year, the Cavs swept the Pacers in round one, and this year, I don't see a sweep. I think this could be a year, especially where the Pacers have been slept on and people have doubted them. This could be a year, I think, where the Pacers upset the Cleveland Cavaliers in the first round. I'm not saying it's definite, but I'm saying this team right now, with how they're playing, they've manhandled the Cavs so far this season. Obviously, not with the new additions, but they've played very well against the Cavs. Lance Stephenson is LeBron nuisance. He's a LeBron nuisance. That's what Lance Stephenson is. He'll blow in his ear a little bit. He'll get under his skin. He'll bother him. I think the Cavs are going to be in for a long first-round series. I think the Pacers push them to either 6 or 7 games. And if the Pacers manage to get home court advantage for that first-round series, I think the Pacers win. If they don't get home court, I believe it will be the Cavs. The Pacers have had a phenomenal year, and I see no better challenge than trying to dethrone the king himself. Touch upon two other playoff series that could line up and could happen. The Jazz and Pelicans in the West is a 4-5 matchup possibility. Although it'd be really upsetting to see two teams who have really, you know, jumped up at the conference in the last months play each other in the first round, I think it would be fitting because I don't think either one of these two teams could win a first-round matchup against any other team. So them playing against each other I think is good because it guarantees one of them moves on. Utah Jazz obviously have been phenomenal with rookie phenom Donovan Mitchell. Rudy Gobert has been back and healthy and a stud. The Thunder and Warriors, another matchup I'm looking at. You know, that could be a 2-7 matchup. If the Warriors don't have Stephen Curry and they have to go against a pissed off Russell Westbrook and Thunder team, I could definitely see that series going long, 6-7 games. And I'm not ruling out the Thunder to upset the Warriors if they don't have Stephen Curry. Too many variables could happen. We know how Russell Westbrook feels about Kevin Durant. Paul George hit some shots last game. Maybe he's coming out of his slump. And if that's the case, then, you know, the Thunder are a dangerous team. Obviously, Melo needs to be better. Melo needs to be hoodie Melo. Maybe he flips a script in the playoffs. But there's a lot of interesting things happening as these storylines develop with the playoffs. But that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Full Access Hoops. We will be back next Sunday recording. Brian Mooney, the original co-host to Full Access Hoops, and Nigel Freeman, they will both be on the next episode of Full Access Hoops. We will be going over... pretty much, we're going to recap the first ever episode of Full Access Hoops. We're going to go over our predictions and everything like that and see how far or how close we were to being right, how far off we were to being right, and how many of us got some right predictions. So make sure to like us on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio. And until next week, see you later, knuckleheads.